Today on Real Life Radio.
For by grace you have been saved through faith. That means you can't get to heaven by keeping the law. You can't get to heaven by being good enough. You can't get to heaven by going door to door or bike riding. You can't get to heaven that way. You get to heaven by God's grace. No other way.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, When God Takes a Break, and this is part two. We cannot pick up the Bible without reading about God's love, His grace, and mercy to a rebellious and fallen world that's lost in its sin and failure to follow God. You see, when God takes a break here in chapter 10, He pauses to show some insights of where we're going in Revelation. God is always faithful in that before He sends judgment, He always sends His messengers of mercy for people to turn from their sinful ways. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that even in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, God's going to offer a final invitation to turn and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. But like it stands today, many will refuse to honor God, and by rejecting His gift of salvation, will in turn stand in judgment before Him. And now in his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Colossians 2, verse 1, jot it down. The mystery of God. We hear in this portion of Scripture about the mystery of God. Keep this in mind. Colossians 2:1 says, Let me tell you, Paul says, how hard I have worked for you and for the people of Laodicea and for all others who do not know me personally. I do this in order that I may be filled with the courage and may be drawn together in love and so have the full wealth of assurance which true understanding brings. In this way, they will know the mystery of God, His divine secret, which is Jesus Christ Himself. Salvation in Christ. It's that Jesus Christ alone saves us. Listen carefully. Now look, I'm going to give you Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Many cults visit this church. I know because they write me. They say I'm of this cult or of that cult. They don't say, hi, I'm of this cult, but I'm of this movement or these people or this thing. Well, you listen carefully if you're visiting today. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, didn't say sin. Sin's bad enough. Trespass is worse if you could put a meter on it. You know what sin is? Sin in the Greek, the word means to miss the mark. It's an archery term taken from the Olympics. When they would set up a target, that archer would pull out an arrow. And he would shoot that arrow. And if he missed the target, the judge would say, sinner! He would yell back at the competitor, sinner! He probably didn't say, sinner! But he said, sinner, you missed the mark. Back then, nobody got offended. Nobody started crying and went home, exactly. You offended me. Call me a sinner. He missed the mark. The guy didn't hit the target. He missed the mark. Today, when we say, oh, I love God and I want to walk and I want to be so obedient to Him and we miss what God says, the Holy Spirit says, sinner, you missed the mark. Try again. So you pull out another arrow. Oh, God, I'm going to pray more earnestly. Missed the mark. Holy Spirit says, sinner. Oh, I'm going to try to keep the first. To hit the Ten Commandments, I'll start with the first five. So let's start with number one. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Sinner. I've missed before I started. I have missed before I even pulled the arrow out of the quiver. Missed. Sinner. That's to miss the mark. A transgressor is like this. A transgressor. God draws the line in the sand. In this case, He gives us His Bible, and He says, for example, don't have sex before marriage. It messes you up. It'll mess you up spiritually. It'll mess you up emotionally. It will mess you up physically. God says, don't have sex outside of marriage. Now, you know what happened? Everybody, they feel or see the line, right? It's drawn there. The line is there. And maybe your 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I don't care if you're 25. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you're 55. You haven't crossed that line yet. And you're up there and you go and you're getting tempted. It's like, oh man, there's the line. And you're looking at it and the temptation's pulling and you're like, transgression is, I see the line. Look at that line right there. And I know what it means. Thou shalt not cross this line or else I'm going to get all emotionally and physically and spiritually wacky. And I'll never think the same if I cross this line. This is what I've been told in the Bible. I need to obey God. He made me. He knows what's best. Oh, Lord, not thy will be done, but my will. And wham, you cross the line. God says, transgression. It's not that you missed the mark. You saw the line and went, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And you do it. Transgression. Jesus died for us even when we were transgressors. And you say, well, how is that? I wasn't even alive 2,000 years ago. You were in the mind of God, every moment of you and I. So he says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, for by grace, unearned favor, you have been saved. And he raised us up together, past tense, by the way. He says he's already done it in his mind. And in his action, God deems it so, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace through his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That means you can't get to heaven by keeping the law. You can't get to heaven by being good enough. You can't get to heaven by going door to door or bike riding. You can't get to heaven that way. You get to heaven by God's grace. No other way. Yeah, but you know what? I've worked really hard to get this achievement. Nothing. Zero. It's faith in Christ plus nada, nit, zip, nothing. His grace through his kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace we have been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, but is a gift of God, not of works, so that any man can boast. That's a tremendous truth. The mystery of God. Daniel chapter 9. Very interesting chapter. I'm going to ask you to turn there. Get your highlighter out. This is an important piece of scripture, and you'll see why in a moment. It's cryptic to a lot of people, and it ought not to be. Daniel chapter 9 is considered the holy of holies of Bible prophecy. You'll never understand Bible prophecy. You'll never understand the book of Revelation without Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24. I will convert the hepstads into what they are, and that is years. You'll read it in your Bible via weeks. That's placed in the English. It's a collection of sevens. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 7 times 70 or 490 years are determined for your holy people. Church, play with me here. Who is he speaking to? Daniel. Daniel was of what people? Israel. He was Jewish. So the announcement is given, 490 years are determined for your people. Who are they? Who's Daniel's people? The Jews. And for your holy city. What's the holy city of the Jews? Anybody? Jerusalem. 483 years have passed. 7 years remain at this portion of the when the book of Revelation is given. Keep that in mind. Here's what we know. Look at Daniel 9:24. To finish the transgression. Listen, that happened at the life of Christ. To finish transgression, Jesus came to save us. Watch. To make an end of sins. Isn't it interesting? That happened at the death of Christ. You say, what? People still sin today. Yes, I know. But the Bible says Jesus died for the sins of us and the whole world. Well, wait a minute. If he died for the sins of us and the whole world, then nobody gets to go to hell, right? We just ticket, pass, go, and all that? Get $200? No. Listen, there's only one sin that will keep you out of heaven. He died for all sin. But there's one sin that condemns man. And that's not accepting Christ. Well, that's narrow. Sure is. It's absolutely narrow. He died on the cross once and for all, says the scripture. Now watch this. To make an end of sins, that happened at the death of Christ. To make reconciliation for iniquity, the resurrection of Christ. guaranteed our salvation. That was fulfilled. To bring in everlasting righteousness, the offering of Christ in heaven on the altar before God, the high priest bringing his blood before the eternal altar of God. Christ did that. To seal up vision and prophecy. We're waiting for that to happen. That hasn't happened yet. That's still being done now. Look, and to anoint the most holy. Eternity hasn't begun yet. So those last two declarations have not yet happened. We await them. It dovetails perfectly into the fact that the mystery of God would be finished. We are now approaching the end of the book of Revelation, certainly the end, the latter portion, the last 3.5 years. My friend, in this chapter, time-wise, we are not far from the rule and reign of Christ in a chronological form as we see in the book of Revelation. From chapters 10 on to the end of the book, it is going to cover a very brief period of time. So when the scripture says the mystery of God would be finished, what would be finished? That God would rule and reign by his messenger, Jesus Christ, in the great millennium. Jesus will rule and reign on earth when he comes in the second coming. Now Jesus, Bible students, listen. Jesus does not come and rule and reign via the rapture. A lot of people confuse the rapture and the second coming. They are diametrically opposed to one another. One is an appearance, the other one is a physical coming. The one has no warnings whatsoever. The other one has over 300 warnings. The one is to the believer only. And apparently, we conclude the world has no knowledge of it. The other one, it says all the people of the earth will mourn and weep at his coming. Interesting, huh? The other one presupposes no prophetic fulfillment to predate it or to introduce it. The other, the second coming, has tremendous things that predate. Isn't it neat that the church looks for the coming of Christ? Those of the tribulation period, though, dread and look to the coming of the Antichrist. We are given as a church to be alive and live for Christ, aren't we? And to be alert for his imminent return. But the tribulation saints, what are they told for their faith? They will have to what? Die for their faith in Christ. Interesting. Greatly different. Keep that in mind. It's very important. One will be at least 7 years away from the other one. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. When God's mystery is finished, God is gracious, he's patient, he's kind, yes, but listen, we live in a time zone, people, and time expires, time concludes. And God says in Genesis 6, 3, my spirit will not always strive or put up with, contend with man forever. I'm going to put an end to my timing, is what God is saying. There's going to come a time when my dealing with men will cease. And of course, in Genesis day, that was signified by the closing of the door. Remember when Noah stepped inside that ark and the Bible says God closed the door. Time expired. Revelation 11:15 says, and it shall say, when we study it, that the seventh angel sounded and there was a loud voice from heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Very important. Daniel 7:21, this is an important verse. Before the end of the great tribulation period, Daniel 7:21 is the context here. Daniel said, as I was watching, he makes reference to the Antichrist was making war against the Lord's saints. Remember, he's going to kill the tribulation saints. And the Antichrist will prevail against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was given in favor of the saints of the Most High. And that the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Tremendous promise that time will expire and the mystery of God will conclude. My friend, you have the luxury. You may be an evolutionist this morning. You may be an atheist this morning. You may be an agnostic. You may be one who's in a cult. I don't know where you're at. But listen, time is ticking. And you can hear it. What do I mean by that? You can hear it. Look around at this world and see what's going on. You can hear it ticking. Man, I don't know about you, but I look around and don't tell me, well, it's because you're getting older, that's why. I look around this world and I want to be with Jesus. And, well, you know, that's a real, real fatalistic view on things. What? Let me tell you. It's a lot better with him. Have you read the book? Have you read the Bible? We're going to a place where Paul the Apostle, when he saw it, God showed it to him. He said, I can't even tell you about it. He said, there are no words given for man's lips to articulate that it's worthy of heaven. I can't even talk about it. Isn't that funny? You can go over here to Borders and buy books on what heaven's all about. I say that as a joke. Paul saw it and he said, I can't talk about it. It's too awesome. That's where I'm going. I heard President Bush speak from Normandy. And he was talking about Ronald Reagan, who passed away yesterday, and how President Bush made a statement, how Ronald Reagan has now entered into a city, a gleaming, brilliant, beautiful city. And that's a wonderful thing. Is that your assurance today? Is that your hope? Do you have that assured to you? You can. That's a comforting thing. That's where I'm going. And I know for many of you, that's where you're going. But for those of you who aren't sure, or you're not believing in Christ, I've said it so many times, and you're tired of hearing me say it, but I don't want you to come. And I do not want you to believe in Calvary Chapel. That will do nothing for you. I don't want you to believe in people, beginning with me. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here, and I'm not putting anybody down who does the opposite. But I am so... Call me wrong, it's okay. But you know what? If you dress up, and I'm not putting it down, don't get me wrong. If I wear a suit, that's my business and that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But if I come out here wearing a robe and a hat, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, why do I need this? And someone might say, Pastor, I don't need it, but the people I minister to do. What? Why do they need it? They need a item or a resemblance that strengthens their faith. In what? Now, it's an easy trap to fall into. Why would I need to wear a robe? Why would I need to come out and look, if you're visiting and you're a Presbyterian Baptistal or wherever you've come from and you wear a robe, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying I can't. Personally, I can't. Why? Because I'm afraid of someone who's prone or weak in faith. They might look at me and say, whoa, did you see his robe? It's cool. And those colors, and when he moved that certain way, it kind of sparkled and it caught my eye and God's on him. Why? The robe, it glistened. I don't want to even be near that. Now, sometimes I go the other way and you say, Pastor, you ought to wear a tie. You know what? Maybe I should. Pastor, you ought to wear a suit. Maybe I should. I'm not putting those things down. So if I wear a suit next week, I should wear a suit next week just to see if you're paying attention right now. I thought you said you... I didn't say that. I'm saying I don't want to put forth an image that would cause you to lean towards some earthly thing that can't do anything for you. It's important. Very, very important. And so we want to make sure that our faith is securely founded upon him. Verses 8 through 11, we end with this point. When God takes a break, he gives his mandate to mankind. When God takes a break, when he pauses in his act of grace, remember the revelation given to John is now put on pause and he's got this parenthetical insert of information. Verses 8 through 11, God takes a break and gives his mandate to mankind. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I ate it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. What I see here is that the Lord is giving his love and his righteousness, his righteous love. How so? In that pause, the message is given to John, preach it, tell it, speak it. Every opportunity, John, tell people. Now listen to this. This is very cool in my opinion. Church, you know now by virtue of the introduction, John is a very old man. In the giving of the book of Revelation, he's a very old man on the Isle of Patmos, which if you sign up to go with us on that tour of the middle of the Mediterranean, we're going to the island of Patmos. John was on that island, left by the Roman Empire to die. God had another plan. He will be rescued, and he will be taken to Ephesus. The old man, the apostle. He'll die of natural causes, by the way, the only apostle who does. During that time, he preached. He told people. But you say, wait a minute, Jack. He, according to church history, was also very old and crippled. He didn't get around much. It's true, he didn't. But did he not write one of the world's, or if not, he was certainly a contributing editor, author to the world's best-selling book? Did he not author the Gospel of John? Did he not write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Did he not write the book of Revelation? Inspired by the Holy Spirit? The Bible without error? He did.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 2. We're glad you could join us today. When God Takes a Break, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years,
right?
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer and non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people.
Yeah.
I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it,
right?
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it. The new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game, and you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.